What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Well, the number one challenge for Ben Johnson, they got to get Caleb to play in rhythm and on time. That's going to be a schematic thing that they have to build in. It's also going to be his development. That's going to be the challenge, is to develop that within his game. I think the second part is making sure that they understand the easy element, or building in easy in this offense. That's another thing that I love for all quarterbacks, specifically the young guys. They are going to have to get the offensive line in Chicago very much so on par to at least something close to what Detroit has, because everything is built off that. But getting Caleb, the great thing that married Ben Johnson and Jared Goff was taught by Sean McVay the rhythm of your feet. I one hitch here, I two hitch to the second option, I three hitch to the check down. That's going to be the foundation of how Caleb is going to have to develop. Usually super, super, super talented guys, that's not the backbone of who they are when they're young. Can you get there? 1,000%. That's going to be the most needed step for that relationship.
Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. That was Dan Orlovsky, courtesy of ESPN, talking about Caleb Williams and more specifically Ben Johnson and his addition to the Chicago Bears. We're going to be talking about that with our guest here in just a moment, Ty Dunn, founder of GoLong, golongtd.com, and you can find him on Twitter at Ty Dunn. Of course, I want to mention as well, we've got Craig Counsell coming up at 9:20 a.m. today on the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis. You're not going to want to miss that. But right now, again, as I mentioned, we're being joined by Ty Dunn. Ty, my friend, how are you doing?
Andy, what is good, my man? Everything's great in Western New York, other than the fact that we're under about 2.5 feet of snow, and it's like 1 degree outside, so the worst of all worlds.
I was going to say, you said, you know, 2.5 feet of snow. Right now in Green Bay area, at least, it's like negative 10. So I was going to ask what's worse, like the 2 feet of snow or the negative 10, but you're basically getting the like you said, the worst of both worlds.
Well, and then you sprinkle on top of that all. We've got a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and they got sick. So now we're all sick inside on a snow day. So it's great.
What more could you possibly want in life, Ty? This is the thing that dreams are made of. Tons of snow, cold weather, everyone's sick at home. I hope you're stocked up on soup, at least, I hope.
I guess we are a little bit. You know, it's I will say this. You know, out there in Wisconsin, I know it's cold, but at least, you know, in New York State, we also have the high taxes. So there's a fourth element there. So you don't have to deal with that out there in Wisconsin. I think at least there's a little hope there this tax season.
It is a little bit different. You are absolutely right. All right, let's get into this. I want to start. We've been talking about Ben Johnson and the Chicago Bears to kick off today's show. The Bears do, in fact, hire Ben Johnson. And I'm very intrigued, Ty, on your thoughts on how this will work in Chicago. We heard from Dan Orlovsky there just a second ago. What needs to go differently for Chicago this time around so that this isn't just a new fresh coat of paint and they can actually have success as a franchise as Ben Johnson comes to town?
Oh, I like the way you describe that, because, you know, if we're playing devil's advocate with this whole thing, that's what it could be, that fresh coat of paint where the inside of the car isn't looking that good. Because let's remember, the Lions, when they really rebuilt this whole thing from the ground up, where did they start? They started on the offensive line. They drafted Penei Sewell. Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes went nuts in the draft room. They had Taylor Decker still, Jonah Jackson. I mean, they really did emphasize that offensive line. Frank Ragnow, I mean, they wanted to build it from the inside out, and that's where they started, first and foremost. I mean, Ben Johnson wasn't even the offensive coordinator yet when they were kind of establishing who they wanted to be. And then you look at the Bears' offensive line, and it leaves a lot to be desired. So I would think that that's going to be the first order of business. All parties involved should want to improve that offensive line. But if they can get that done, and that's a big if, I mean, this is a slam dunk hire. I mean, Ben Johnson with Caleb Williams, if you're an objective football consumer, I think this is what you want. And I'm sure a lot of Packer fans listening don't want that. I mean, you got to deal with this guy a couple times a year. But I think it's a match made in heaven. I've always liked Caleb Williams. Just talking to the scouts I do, that have tracked him for a long time. This is somebody who has it. If he can play within some structure, if he can have a little bit more time. Look, and it was on him, a lot of those sacks, but a lot of those were on the offensive line as well. So a lot of work to be done, but I think there is some hope for the Bears. And when how many times can you really say that?
It's not been often as of late, that is for sure. I know we talked about the offensive line as well. You know, Tevin Jenkins, one of their best offensive linemen, is going to be an unrestricted free agent this year. They're going to need Darnell Wright to be, I think, even a little bit better. I think he's a good, solid offensive lineman, but of course he was a top first-round pick, and then it just gets very barren after that. They're going to have to address that position in a major way. But I did see you post over on Twitter, at Ty Dunn on Twitter, buy that Caleb Williams stock. So I agree with you, actually. I think now is a good time. It seems to be pretty low at the moment. People are not buying it. They're seeing Jaden Daniels tear it up and, you know, comparing the two. And of course, Drake May had an interesting, you know, I think pretty nice end to his season and looks solid going forward. We'll see what Minnesota does with McCarthy. Penix got his opportunity. Bo Nix made the playoffs, yet here was the first overall pick and Caleb Williams really struggling through a good chunk of last year. But you're still a believer. Now is the time to buy that stock.
I really think so. I mean, I didn't really understand the Bears' logic in running it back with Matt Eberflus. Like, this is so many teams run into this issue. Like, they win a few games late in the season, and they convince themselves like they've got to keep it going, or they convince themselves it's a good thing. I mean, look at the New York Giants. I mean, they won a couple games with Tommy DeVito, and they cost themselves Jaden Daniels. And the Bears won a few games with Matt Eberflus, and they just wasted a season because they paired him with Caleb Williams. It was never going to fly, and Shane Waldron. It just eventually everybody had to go, and it was like playing Monopoly, right? They were selling off parts as the season was rolling along. So the rookie season to me is just a complete wash for Caleb Williams. He never had the infrastructure. It seemed like it was going to be promising when you have all these weapons. I mean, you trade for Keenan Allen, you've got DJ Moore, you draft Roma Dunze, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift. But to your point, I mean, if you don't have the infrastructure from a coaching standpoint, the infrastructure from an offensive line standpoint, then the house is going to collapse from within. I mean, if you don't have that foundation, nothing else really matters a hell of a lot. And that house caved in from that Hail Mary on against the Commanders. So, I still like him a lot. I know there's a lot of red flags, and we're not used to seeing a quarterback just paint his fingernails and cry in his mom's arms, and all that stuff did concern people out of the draft. But I'm thinking back to a conversation with there's one West Coast scout who was around Caleb Williams a ton, saw him a ton, and he's like, this dude is a leader. He's emotionally intelligent. He's going to want to develop real relationships with his teammates in the locker room. And he's going on and on and on, and it was like the exact opposite of what I had heard about Justin Fields the year before. And it surprised me when I heard this on Fields, because I just assumed he was this great leader. It seemed like guys loved him. But, you know, there were some prominent people in the locker room who said Fields was pretty standoffish and didn't really relate to guys like you would think he did. I think Caleb Williams has a lot of that to him. And you go through the muck, you go through a rough season. He's been tested now. I can only see this thing going up, and they'll have some money to spend. They'll have the ability to kind of rebuild that line. I just love Ben Johnson. I mean, he's been with Dan Campbell. He's seen what it takes to really build a team up. He's more than a play caller, a play designer. I feel like he'll just get how you have to reset a building, and there's a reason he's been waiting for the perfect opportunity. So the fact that he pounced on it too tells you everything you need to know about Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I am intrigued, and we talked about in that first hour, or first segment, excuse me, exactly rebuilding the foundation and him going in with an idea of how to kind of build this thing back up from scratch, because it certainly needs to be done, and if he can do it, it is going to be a massive hire for Chicago. Again, we're being joined by Ty Dunn, founder of Go Long. You can find it on golongtd.com, and of course, Ty on Twitter, at Ty Dunn. I know you cover the entire breadth of the NFL, but I also know that you have your pulse and your finger on the Packers and the Bills to an even higher extent. So before we get to Packers, I do want to ask you about this Buffalo Bills team, their run to the AFC Championship, and of course this game coming up with the Kansas City Chiefs. What do you see from Buffalo, and can they finally get over the hump and beat Kansas City to go to a Super Bowl?
That's the $1 billion question. I mean, they can beat them in the regular season. They've done it 4 years in a row. They've lost you in the playoffs three out of the last 4 years. I mean, this is their Tom Brady. I mean, if Josh Allen was Peyton Manning, they've got to somehow get past the king, slay the king. And this team can do it for sure. I'll just start here. Like, they were able to beat the Ravens because they know how to deal with this weather we started with. Like, they played in the wind, they played in blizzards, they played in bitter cold. I think they just kind of knew going into that Ravens game that if they hold on to the ball and play conservatively and win at the line of scrimmage, that the Ravens would probably screw up. I mean, this is a team that lost to the Raiders, the Browns. They always seem to kind of have one of those games and trip over themselves. So they did. Lamar did it twice in the first half. Mark Andrews did it throughout the fourth quarter, and it was enough. I mean, they win the turnover battle 3-0, and they win by 2 points. So I don't know if that's going to work against the Chiefs. I don't know if you can necessarily just suck the air out of the ball, squeeze it tight, and hang on for dear life against Patrick Mahomes at Arrowhead. So I would think they'll open it up with Josh Allen a little bit more. You're going to have to. So it'll be really interesting to see their game plan. And I'm just fascinated by the Sean McDermott-Andy Reid matchup, because McDermott's had his number in the regular season, but when it counts, when it's do or die, Andy Reid is that coach who just seems to push all the right buttons late in games. And for a number of reasons, some in his control, some out of his control, things just go wrong for Sean McDermott. So what changes this time around? I'll say this, and I sat down with Sean for an hour in his office a couple weeks ago. I think he has really made a concerted effort to evolve for good. I mean, this is somebody that's been criticized by his assistants in our series a year ago for being tight, robotic, you know, that manifesting to the field, his team looking tight and robotic in key moments. They're a loose bunch. They're a confident bunch, and they're going to Arrowhead to win. So I think the mentality of this Bills team is right. I think they're more talented than the Chiefs. But then you look at the one factor, the Patrick Mahomes factor. He's Michael Jordan. Everybody else is Malone and Ewing and Sean Kemp and Alonzo Mourning. Until further notice, that's the state of the NFL.
Can't believe you left Clyde Drexler out of that conversation, but I'll let it go for now, Ty. We're being joined by Ty Dunn. You can find him on Twitter at Ty Dunn, and of course, founder of Go Long, the fantastic website that covers all thing NFL. You can find it at golongtd.com. All right, really quick, thoughts on Eagles Commanders. That, you know, what could potentially happen in that game, and what's your Super Bowl pick at this point in time?
Boy, unless you have a dog in the fight, we all kind of want Bills Commanders. I think we're all sick of Chiefs and Eagles. It'd be a fun matchup to have different coaches, different quarterbacks, different teams in this thing. So maybe I'll just pick that because, you know, that's what we want. How does this matchup go down? You know, love Saquon Barkley. How can you not? I mean, he's just been on an absolute tear. But I think I love everything going on in D.C. with these Commanders more. Gosh, talking about resetting the building, what Dan Quinn's been able to do there under new ownership. With a team that's been awful for three decades, it's incredible. And I chatted with a bunch of these assistants for a piece at Go Long. It's up there. Folks want to check it out. You know, when he took over in the spring, when the players first got there for phase one, he told all of his assistant coaches, no football. Do not talk football with any of your players. X's and O's. We're not installing one thing. For 2 weeks, just get to know these players as people. And I was talking to Anthony Lynn, and he's like, wow, I mean, it kind of took him off guard. You know, he's been playing or coaching for a third of the NFL. He's never heard that before. But when they really did kind of sit down with their players in their rooms and get to know them as people, I think that real relationships were built. So, hell, when you lose the opener to Tampa Bay, you get blown out, nobody flinches. When you have the three-game losing streak and everybody's saying, all right, the Commanders are kind of regressing to the mean here, nobody flinches, like, they've been able to work through some hard times because, I mean, it's, the bonds are real there. That stuff matters in football. It's more than just played on a spreadsheet. So I think that, you know, even beyond Jane Daniels, who's stupendous, I mean, he's been unbelievable, there's a real foundation there in Washington for this team to win for a long time. So I like them to win now, and I like them to win in the future.
Man, that would be quite the matchup if we did get Washington-Buffalo. I like Buffalo in this one. I'm going to go with Philly, though. But either way, I think these are going to be really fun matchups, and I cannot wait for the games this weekend. Again, we're joined by Ty Dunn, founder of Go Long. You can find it at golongtd.com. Let's talk some Green Bay Packers, Ty. Your thoughts on this Packers 2024 season and the progress and or lack thereof from Jordan Love in 2024?
I know, right? I feel like every time we talk, it's like the – we're just, you know, pouring some more fuel into the Jordan Love hype train, and justifiably so. What he did late last season in Dallas, it should have gotten us all jacked up. And we don't want to use excuses. The injuries, though, are real. I mean, that kind of threw a wrench into things for Jordan Love. I mean, his own injuries, and then having the receivers kind of drop like flies. But we got to be real, though, too, Andy. I mean, it was rough. It was rough. I mean, they really didn't have a signature win against a really good team at full strength all year. They kind of caught teams at the right time. The Texans were missing a number of starters. The Dolphins were flailing. The 49ers were flailing. And they stunk in their own division. I mean, they're a tipped field goal away from going 0-for in the NFC North. So,
yep. Yeah,
I think there's some real concern. I think I'd be maybe even more concerned about the coaching. And there's a lot to love about Matt LaFleur, the way he was able to game plan Malik Willis to some wins. Impressive. But I don't know. I'm just thinking, like, temperament on the sideline when you see a Dan Campbell and how that dude doesn't even flinch and that team takes on his personality. There were some moments where Matt LaFleur kind of lost his cool, and you see a team losing their cool. I mean, I don't know how you make that connection, but it did seem like the Packers were a little too unhinged at times, taking their cue from an unhinged coach late in the season in some key spots. So I think maybe Matt LaFleur could use a little self-reflection too this offseason.
I think that's going to be sort of be the story of the Green Bay Packers this offseason is a lot of self-reflection. What went wrong? Why did they not have the success that they wanted to have? Why did they not get that signature win? Why did they struggle in the NFC North and just, again, have a team that in a lot of ways felt like it took a step back in 2024 from even where they were at the end of 2023? And how they address those things, I think, are going to go a long way in whether or not they can take that step back and get back to where they were and hopefully even further than that, or if there are some problems that are going to need to be addressed down the road. Ty, before we get you out of here, I know you're a busy man. If you were Brian Gutekunst, how are you attacking this Packers offseason, and what are you looking to add to this team?
It just seems like 1 through 53, there's a lot of solid players. You know, yep. B-minus players, the occasional B-plus. I think a bold swing this offseason would do the Packers a hell of a lot of good. Like, think of that Philly game, and it was a close game. I mean, they played well defensively. They really did. But the Eagles have some studs. I mean, they've got some thoroughbreds on both sides of the ball. The Packers, I don't know what the move is. You know, maybe you've got to get creative with a trade for a wide receiver, creative with a trade for a disruptive pass rusher, you know, something to just kind of shake it up. And I think Gutekunst has proven he's willing to think outside of the box at times in terms of, like, veteran acquisitions. But for, by and large, he does kind of take his cue from Ted Thompson. Like, he does like relying on youth, and you look at the way he drafts, it's a lot of, you know, physical upside, athletic upside in guys. I don't know, like, just a bold move for a top-tier wide receiver that costs you some money, costs you some picks, whatever it takes. Like, I think that's probably what the fans want, and I think the fans are right. Like, swing for the fences, because you've got a window here with the youngest team in the league, but you could use a veteran or two, and you could use a veteran too as like an A to A plus talent. So it might cost them, and maybe you do have to take on some dead money, but I think you should do it. I don't know who that player is. I'm sure you've got a list at the tip of your tongue, Andy. You know better than me. But, you know, is it T. Higgins? I don't know. But, like, it'd be worth it. If you believe in Jordan Love and you believe in him enough to pay him $55 million a year, then get him another weapon.
Brian Gutekunst talked at his press conference last week. He ended it by saying that the organization needs more urgency, that it's time to win championships. I'm going to see if he follows that same sort of thought process and brings that urgency to the GM position, and maybe not taking that project player in the first round, maybe taking one of those home run swings that you're talking about, and maybe making it so that now is the time, and that there's a team that's going to be aggressive going after it and adding another couple really impressive players to this roster to try to make a run in 2025. Ty, you're the absolute best. What do you got coming out on Go Long TD this week?
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Andy. I always love coming on. I'm here in Buffalo, so I'll probably head over to One Bills Drive and talk to some of these players about how in the hell they can slay the king. it's been several years now, and let's remember, too, for those who don't know, this is actually the story we launched to go along with in 2020. I mean, Terry Pegula, the Bills owner, loved Patrick Mahomes. He wanted Patrick Mahomes, and he didn't want to go full Jerry Jones. He didn't want to step on Sean McDermott's toes. So they traded out of the pick. They handed it to the Chiefs. They handed them Patrick Mahomes, and that's who they have to get past still. So probably reexamine that as well.
Not a bad outcome, though, if Josh Allen's the consolation prize. But it's up to Josh Allen that team now to go that they can go win a championship, and it is going to be paramount that they finally get by this Kansas City Chiefs team that in the playoffs they just have not been able to get by. Ty, you're the absolute best. Go follow him on Twitter, at Ty Dunn, and, of course, check out GoLongTD.com. Ty, we'll do this again soon. I cannot thank you enough for all that you put into this, and, again, we'll chat down the road. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phone, so get those phone calls into the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and text line, 414-677-1250. Are you nervous about the Chicago Bears with Ben Johnson? Hit me up and let me know about that. This is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.